Good morning. It's all we need. And if we were hermits in the desert, we wouldn't even need that many. Or hermits in the cold. This could qualify for a desert. If you extend the definition of desert or completely change it. Let's see, there it is. Okay, thank you for braving the cold, but y'all are from Wyoming, you just do this. Oh. I spent too many years in the South. I remember in seminary, the day that I was graduating, day before I was graduating, walking across the campus thinking, you know, God, I really don't care where I go. I just don't want to go to the South. And I have spent most of the last 35 years in the South. It just kept getting deeper and deeper and deeper into the South. But anyway, it's been a lovely time. Announcements today are, there's the stewardship campaign insert about faithfulness. We are still not singing because the COVID numbers are on the rise. We're not singing, but you're playing a verse of them and the Gloria Patri and the doxology at the next service, okay. Thank you. Forgot to mention that, huh?
Yeah, but I would have just put
them away. The nominating committee is working on next year's leadership, so fill this out, please. All Saints Sunday is next Sunday, so if there's someone you'd like to remember who has died in the last 12 months, get that to the church office by Wednesday. And let's see, sandwiches are... So, I'm missing something. Keith, they're being put together on, we'll put together lunches on Thursday at 4:30, but you're making sandwiches on Friday. Explain, please. Okay, so everything's just a day early?
Yes.
Okie doke. All righty. So, sandwiches, a day early. Talk to Keith. I think that's all the announcements. Oh, we'll have Sunday school in between worship. Yes. We're going to talk about what you all call the fall. Some of us don't call it the fall. Anyway, and we are glad to have Nick with us this morning, who is going to play our prelude. So,
thank you.
Thank you, Nick. The boy's getting better. So we come now to our time of joys and concerns. We want to remember Linda Mosteller. Billy was, his funeral was held on Friday. Also, I got word this morning that Monica Decker's having a hard time with this weather, so please hold her in your prayers. Julie and Greg, insert a last name here, Jenny Black's sister, Julie, they are here, aren't they? They were first evacuated from their home around Estes to the YMCA of the Rockies, and then they were evacuated from there. The word I got was they were going to a hotel in Loveland, but now they are here with Jenny, correct? Okay, so they are here. We'll see what the snow does to all the fires that are burning. It's right there, Julie Bunton. Let's see. Are there other joys or concerns to share this morning? Pat Buck's brother died this week as well. Pat was with her brother. He didn't die of COVID. He had cleared that infection, and then his heart was not doing well, and his heart gave out. But Pat was able to be with him, and that was a blessing for her. Cindy Huckfeldt's getting around pretty good. Y'all know that Lorna Cook took a little trip. Did we talk about that last week? Down her stairs? Yeah. Okay, any other? Let's turn to God in prayer. For the gift of another day, O God, we are most grateful. And today we gather here and ask that you would give ear to our words, O Rock and Redeemer, whose glory is chanted above the heavens and by the mouths of children and infants. Pay attention to the sound of our voices, for to you we pray. We come this morning deep in the days of ordinary time, sometimes embarrassed to call your name and to say again that ordinary life here in ordinary time seems complicated and hard, and these days it hurts. Confessing that in the hurry and the mess of living, in the uncertainty and the fatigue of the pandemic, we have forgotten to awaken each day with songs of gratefulness to you on our lips. We come, gracious God, confessing that in some moments we look upon the beloved faces in our lives, across our dinner tables, and we fail to gasp thanksgivings to you for the miracle of those faces and for our love for them. Shock us back into your presence with the daily holy moments the daily sacred moments that surround us. Compel us to live ordinary lives of extraordinary depth for which we were made. Even as you released Israel from her captors, leading her with pillar of fire by night and cloud by day, we pray for release from personal demons that would hold us captive, and from burdens within our church community that would keep us in exile, and for all those imprisoned around your world. We pray for your justice and your mercy flowing like flooded rivers. Hear us now as we lift our concerns, our longings, and our thanksgivings to you in silence. Accept our prayers, O God, and in your mercy, look with compassion upon us, for you are gracious. This we pray in the name of Jesus, who taught us to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And now, Donna is going to play one verse of A Mighty Fortress while we hum quietly and go through the words in our head. I had this lovely little history lesson on a couple of Reformation women, English Reformation women today. But yesterday I changed my mind after the prayer retreat. And so we are going in a completely different direction today. Martin Luther, by the way, wrote that hymn while he was in prison. That's why his metaphor for God at the time was a fortress. So We are going to turn to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 10, verses 38 to 42. It's a short little story. Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. She had a sister named Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to what he was saying. But Martha was distracted by her many tasks, so she came to him and asked, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her then to help me." But the Lord answered, "Martha, Martha, you are worried and distracted by many things. There is need of only one thing. Mary has chosen the better part, which will not be taken away from her." Well, So, this brief little story in Luke has been used across generations in discussions concerning the appropriate place of women in the church. Appropriate roles, appropriate work of women. It's been used to pit Mary and Martha against each other. Mary versus Martha. Martha or Mary, choose wisely. The story's been used to set Mary up on a pedestal while we just shake our heads with some disdain at poor Martha, who just doesn't get it. Ugh, poor Martha. She gets scolded by Jesus, and she is stuck in the kitchen. Mary, you see. Oh, she wasn't behaving like a woman was supposed to back in the day. She should have been helping Martha instead of taking the posture of a student. Her posture here, is important. Mary sat at the Lord's feet, listening to what he was saying. See, this is what rabbinic students did back in the day. They sat at the feet of their teachers and listened while they were taught as they learned Torah. Women weren't students of Torah. They weren't allowed to study Torah until the 1920s, and then a few women, one, was allowed to study. And yet here Mary sits like a student at the feet of her teacher. It just wasn't done. Mary's action, her inaction, her posture was a violation of the social boundaries of the day and would have brought shame upon her and her house. Now, Luke has just told us, just before this little story, he's just told us the story of the Good Samaritan. And everyone knew then, Samaritans, there was nothing good about them. And here, Mary's behaving as a student. Women weren't students. But as we have discovered, things are very different around Jesus. And then there's Martha. Martha, Martha, Martha. Martha was behaving as a woman was supposed to in her world, taking up her traditional role in the kitchen, cooking for everybody. Except, did you catch whose home we were in? Did you catch that? Now, as they went on their way, Jesus entered a certain village where a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha welcomed Jesus into her home. And you see, that wasn't done either. Women didn't own much of anything. They were the property. And they certainly didn't welcome guests into their own homes. So maybe you're thinking, maybe it was Lazarus' home. You know, we know him as the brother of Martha and Mary, but that's in John's gospel. That's in another gospel. Maybe he was around somewhere, but according to Luke, there is no mention of a brother or a husband or a father living in Martha's home. The text tells us we are in Martha's home. And again, that didn't happen in the culture of the New Testament. And Jesus shouldn't have been there either. Jesus shouldn't have been in the home of a woman. So you see, Martha also breaks the social boundaries of the day, just like her sister does. And we also need to be careful and pay attention to what Jesus does and what Jesus doesn't say to Martha. Jesus does not tell Martha not to work, not to serve. He doesn't condemn her actions. Her work itself isn't the problem, nor is it to be ignored. The problem, Jesus says, Martha is worried and distracted and troubled. Worried, distracted, and troubled. Three times in this short little story, Martha is referred to as Martha's distracted or overburdened, pulled or dragged away from her own work. Martha is worried or anxious, unduly concerned with things that are somebody else's business. Martha is troubled. She's been thrown into disorder. She's distressed. Quite frankly, she sounds a lot like us. It's Martha's worry, anxiety, and distractedness that Jesus addresses here. And we know the damage that distraction and worry and anxiety can cause. Distractions, while we're driving, can cost us our lives and the lives of others. Cell phones in the car are a horrible distraction. Even the phone that's built into the car, you still have to look and push a button. That's a huge distraction. Worry and anxiety can paralyze us to the point where we are almost unable to function. COVID has taught us that. Worry, anxiety, and distraction keep us from bringing the full force of our attention to the task at hand, whatever it is. Serving a meal, listening to a teacher, bathing a child, waiting with a friend, the sigh, the breath of a prayer. Distraction keeps us from being fully attentive to the moment, whatever the task is. And the task, the many tasks of Martha, her work that she wants help with, is literally diakonia. Sound familiar? It should. It's the office of deacon. It's the sacred work of service. Martha is doing the work of deacon, and Jesus does not condemn her work. Martha's work of service is important, but Martha's distraction is in the way. Martha's not able to bring the full force of her attention to her work of ministry because she's anxious and she's worried. In the next chapter of Luke, Jesus will tell his disciples, "Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, or about your body, what you will wear. Do not keep worrying. Do not worry about what you will eat or what you will wear. Doesn't mean you need to go around hungry and naked." Jesus doesn't tell Martha not to serve. He tells her to lay aside, to lay down her worry and distraction. We don't need to put Martha down in order to honor Mary. So you see, it's not about women's work at all. It's not about the classroom versus the kitchen at all. This is about discipleship. This is about how we are to love God. Do you remember the story of the Good Samaritan? Do you remember how that starts? It starts with a lawyer. There's always a lawyer. The lawyer comes to test Jesus. The lawyers, then as now, they were the experts in the law. He comes to Jesus and says, "What must I do to inherit eternal life?" And our clever Jesus turns it back and says, "Well, what is written? You know the law. What's written there? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself." Yes. Do this and you will live. And then the lawyer zeroes in on that last part of the law and wants to know just who his neighbor is. Who is my neighbor? He's trying to set a trap. Then Jesus tells the story of the Good Samaritan. And Jesus asks, "Which one was the neighbor?" See what Jesus did there? He's tricky. Change the question. The lawyer answers, "The one who showed, the one who did mercy." Yes. Go and do likewise. In the kingdom of God, we act on compassion with mercy. We care for our neighbor in need without preference or partiality, without regard for reward, repayment, honor, or recognition, without thought of race, economic class, political party, without consideration of religion or lack thereof. In the kingdom of God, we act on compassion with mercy for any who are in need because Jesus says this is the way to live. In the kingdom of God, we are to go and do. We love our neighbor. You know, y'all could shut the door. But what about the first part of the law? What about the first part of the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your strength, and with all of your mind. How do we love God? How do we love God? What does it mean to love God with all your heart, soul, strength, and mind? Luke doesn't leave us dangling. Luke's answer to that question is the story of Mary and Martha. It isn't an accident that the story of the Good Samaritan is immediately followed with this little story of Mary and Martha. If we read these together, they both answer the lawyer's question. Together, the Good Samaritan and Mary and Martha show us what it means to fulfill the whole of the law, to love our neighbor and to love God. Like the Samaritan and Martha, disciples of Jesus are to be actively engaged with human need. And like Mary, disciples of Jesus are to be still, to listen, and to learn. There are times when we are called to go and do. And there are times when we are called to sit and listen. And as disciples of Jesus, our burden lies in discerning when we are called to one and when we are called to the other. knowing that even in the kingdom of God, timing, as the writer of Ecclesiastes says, is everything. Here in this place, now is the time for discernment and mercy. What must I do to inherit eternal life? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength and with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. Let us pray. We are your people, O God, and we are disciples of Jesus. Still our hearts and our minds so that we may not be distracted or anxious or worried from that which you would have us do, from that which you would have us learn, from that which you would have us become. Open our hands, open our hearts to your voice, to your presence among us, and remind us that as your church, our only purpose is to love you and love our neighbor. Amen. Now, Donna is going to play one verse of our communion hymn. I invite you to hum along. Yeah. Oh, really? Well, okay. What? Oh, well.
How about it? Okay. I can do it, but it's not. Okay. You want me to play it? Yeah, just a verse.
You mean the 387.
You mean this one. Because this one was down at the end, but then they don't
have it. Yeah, right. Just one verse of Bread of the World's Mercy Book. Just one.
It's short.
Okay.
As you may recall, on the night that Jesus was betrayed, he took a loaf of bread and, having given thanks, said, "This is my body, broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup, also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let us pray. God, who is always faithful in the big and small things, we thank you that Jesus came to show us how to live a life of faithfulness to you. We thank you for his words and deeds that guide us in faithfulness. We especially thank you that he gave his life in faithful witness to you, so that we can come to you now without the fear of our own sin and death. Now, as we take the recent reminders of Jesus, fill us again with your Spirit, that we too can live out faithfulness in big and small ways, so that others could know of your love for them. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. God tells us over and over in the Bible not to be afraid. Our gifts this morning are one way that we trust God, even in a world that keeps telling us to be afraid. We let go of thinking that we are on our own and live each day in graceful dependence on God. Let us gather our gifts together and offer them to God in gratitude and praise. God of grace, use these offerings in your kingdom work as you provide good news, healing, and hope to all people. Amen.
Look at that. Okay, everybody check your clock, your watch. See? I was on time. Close. And time has always been a struggle. Would you please stand for the benediction? And I will tell you all, thank you for being here this morning. Oof. Stay warm tonight and look for the 50 this week. It's supposed to be, okay. Did anybody hear the weather forecaster say it was going to be 80 this weekend? She did. One night at her evening forecast, at the very end, she put up the weather for Casper and said, and it's going to be 80 on Friday. And I'm looking at that going, that's not right. And now may the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of Sarah, Rebecca, Rachel, and Leah be with you all as you go forth in peace to love and serve the Lord. Amen.